head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with the new Chariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanser, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And welcome into the Rusty Satellite Show right here in St. Matthews at the Louisville.am studios. I am your host, Rick Redding, and the Rusty Satellite Show is the coolest podcast around, I think. And each and every week we bring you the most interesting people in the Ville. Once again, we've got some stuff going on, an action-packed show, a lot of stuff to talk about today, and I'm very excited to be with you to talk about all this stuff that's going on in the world of Louisville, Kentucky, my hometown. The show is brought to you by my friends at Platinum Panel, and we have a very special announcement with Platinum Panel this week. If you sign up between now and March 1st, you will be eligible to win a $100 gift card. That's a $100 gift card. Just say that Rusty Satellite is where you heard about the Platinum Panel, and you will be entered into a drawing for an actual $100 gift card. That'll be a great thing to spend on stuff like going out to eat and all the great stuff we got to do right here in town. So go to platinumpanel.com and sign up. We're also brought to you by the Passport Health Plan, my longtime sponsor. I love working with the people at Passport. If you go to PassportWellbeing.com and click on the community, you'll see some of my work, including a recent video I did with Gil Holland down in Portland. And he is always one of my favorite people and favorite people to talk to. We did the interview a few, probably a month or two ago, but it is a very interesting video. You can see my amateur video skills going up with help from Bill Breimer, our ace photographer, here at the Rusty Satellite Show. So who do we got on this week? I tell you, in the second half of the show, you're going to stay tuned, because we have a guy from Zimbabwe, believe it or not. He is a great story of a successful immigration story. His name is Brendan Evans, and he owns a business here in town and has a fascinating story about how he got here. My good friend Carolyn McLean turned me on to Brendan Evans, and I think you'll want to stay and listen. And plus, he's got a great accent. So that alone is worth sticking around and listening to the show for. But first up, this story brought a smile to the faces of a lot of people in the city, and especially those in and around Linden, because Joe's Older Than Dirt is on its way back. That's true. Hey, there's our train. Joe's Older Than Dirt is a legendary local landmark, and I talked to a guy named Chris Bride, who has partnered with the Fernando Martinez of the Olay Restaurant Group to bring Joe's back. It was, for the last year or so, it's been known as the Red Barton Kitchen, and that concept is being eliminated, and I went over there. There's a lot of work going on. They're headed for a February 21st opening. And Chris is a great story in himself. I really enjoyed getting to talk to him and hearing about the big moose out front. Yeah, wait till the end of the interview. I won't repeat it here, but it's a hilarious story about how they tried to get the old moose back and couldn't get it. And Chris went back. He told me he went out to Hollywood and found a moose that was used in movies and stuff. So that's how they got the moose out there. If you go to RustySatelliteShow.com, you'll see a picture of Chris and the new moose right there on the scene. So that's what you got in store for. I got a bunch of stuff to talk about in the middle, and you're really going to enjoy the show. Thanks for tuning in to the Rusty Satellite Show. This is Rick Redding. Here's my interview with Chris Bride at Joe's Older Than Dirt.
I admit I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up, until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at PassportHealthPlan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
Today, I am at a Louisville landmark for sure with a guy who's doing something very exciting. Chris Bride, you're bringing Joe's back.
Yeah, we are excited to bring back an iconic Louisville landmark, Joe's Older Than Dirt, to the Linden and Louisville area.
That's very exciting. Even
Even you were telling me the moose is coming back.
Well, we put the moose out front a couple of days ago and had a lot of compliments on the realistic look of the new moose. Some well, people thought the moose would actually run across the street.
Well, that's funny. Well, tell me a little bit of the background, the story. I know you were involved for a long time and then got out, and now you're back in. So how'd that come about?
Well, I was involved in Joe's Older Than Dirt 15 years ago. Helped manage, run, and own Joe's for a period of time. And I got out of it about 5 years ago.
Okay.
Fernando came in and had the concept of the Red Barn Kitchen. And Fernando was the owner of the Olay Group that you might be familiar with from Burger Muscle
sure.
Bar, Taco Luchador. You know,
great,
they have a lot of great restaurant concepts in town. Artisano. So Fernando and I had a meeting. We came together. And we agreed that Joe's would be best utilized as the restaurant bar that it's been since 1937.
Okay.
So the concept is to bring back the old Joe's Older Than Dirt with the incredible addition of the great food that Fernando's Olay Group makes.
Sure.
And the food, the beer prices, everything will be what everyone's used to. The price okay. structure, the very affordable price structure, the beer, the food, it's going to be the old Joe's price structure with the incredible food made by Olay.
Wow. Well, let me get that, because I'm confused as to whether the incredible food will be more like Red Barn Kitchen, or will it be more like what Joe's used to be, just done by these guys with a lot of experience in restaurants.
Well, it'll be a fusion of the two. So we will have things like, you know, tacos. We'll have, you know, pulled pork, some things that Red Barn Kitchen did. You know, fantastic okay. barbecue. But also we're going to have the staples that you're used to at bars, such as, you know, chicken wings, burgers and fries. We've got a, you know, a nacho called the kitchen sink. So the nachos will have everything but the kitchen sink in them. And again, all at a very affordable price.
Oh, wow. Well, that sounds it sounds very exciting. I, as we were walking back through here, I saw a lot of work going on. You know, what kind of updates are going on? Because you're opening shortly, February 21st, I think.
Yeah, February 21st, opening date. We're going to have a grand opening party. And, you know, essentially it's just regular maintenance. When Fernando got into the Red Barn Kitchen, they did an incredible amount of update to mm-hmm. Joe's. I mean, they put in a lot of money to, you know, kind of reconstruct a dilapidated building, a kitchen that was old. And
it was older than dirt.
The kitchen and the structure literally are older than dirt. But Fernando did a great job in making it very nice. The kitchen is amazing. It's big and it's clean. And right now, when it was Red Barn Kitchen, the front bar was eliminated. Mm-hmm. Right now, we are rebuilding the front bar from the original Joe's, and people will be able to walk in and see a very familiar friend, the old
like
front bar, just like it used to be.
Well, that's very cool. Well, you must know some of the history. I mean, you mentioned it's not older than dirt. It's as old as 1937. What was the history of this place before you got involved?
Well, it actually used to be just a one-room establishment that was kind of a men's club. So when you walked in the front door, you'd see a group of men sitting around, maybe playing cards, having beers with their friends, and there was only one bathroom that was for men only. So back in the day, it was a men's club that women were not welcome okay. to come into.
Okay.
Now, of course, we welcome all women.
We really want women now. Yeah. Well, that's an amazing piece of history, and so you got involved in it, and I'm sure through those 15 years you were there. It became a very popular watering hole for people all around here and all around town, I guess.
Well, the great thing about Joe's is that so many people have fond memories of being at Joe's. I've had people tell me that they met their husband or wife here, they got engaged here, they came here with their softball team after their games for 15 years and had, you know, beers with their friends. Or I've had people who are in their 30s now say when they were 10 years old, their family used to come here for our fish fries and just hang out and run around with the other kids in the courtyard. So, you know, Joe's is associated with the people in the area with really nice times with their families and friends. And that's what we're going to reconstruct for people, a gathering place for the neighborhood to enjoy future fun times.
Yeah, well, it sounds great. It's right here in Linden. But I'm curious, you were involved in it and then left when all this happened. You've got other businesses in town.
Yeah, I have run and own Our Place Pub for the past 25 years. You know, of course, at Our Place Pub, we're known for our sand volleyball leagues. We have an indoor sand volleyball court that we use throughout the winter. And we are, of course, also the home of the Pittsburgh Steeler fan club.
Well, I'll forgive you for that. But but yeah, it's amazing, you know, because I used to live out this way. I drive by. It's all hours, day and night. There's people out there playing volleyball on that very visible corner at LaGrange and at New LaGrange and Whips Mill, I guess. So. Yeah. How many people are involved in sand volleyball over there?
Well, we actually have, in the summertime, 210 volleyball leagues. So, you know, you're talking about close to 1,000 people involved in playing sand volleyball throughout the whole year. And, of course, in the wintertime, we have one sand volleyball court that's heated and enclosed, and I have over 100 teams playing in my leagues throughout the winter months, November through March.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's a lot. So you were telling me earlier you're back. You weren't born here, but you have a lot of family that has a lot of history here.
Yeah, I was actually born in Los Angeles, but my mom is from Louisville. She had 8 brothers and sisters. They grew up in the St. Matthews area. My grandmother, who lived to be 93, lived her whole life in the St. Matthews area. Wow. So I have a lot of family still in the Louisville area.
Yeah. Well. Just coming back here, getting back to Joe's, it must. I'm sure you're getting a lot of sentiments from people about how happy they are about this coming back. How does that feel to you?
Well, you know, it really is a fantastic feeling because so many people are emotional about their love of Joe's, and I think it's because they associate having so many good times here, you know, over the past 20, 30, 50 mm-hmm. years. And, you know, the people love Joe's as an iconic landmark that they've had great times with their family and friends over the years.
Okay. Well, let's get the details of the opening. And now, I know February 21 is the date. Do you have any events around that, or just going to open the doors and let it happen?
We are having a huge grand opening party on February 21st. I think, in someone's great words, if we build it, they will come.
Well, that'll be great. So one grand opening party, and then I guess it'll just be open regular hours. I can't remember. I only stumbled in here at night back in the day. But...
We will be open 7 days a week, Monday through Friday. We're going to have plate lunches. And, of course, as we finish up February and roll into March, one of the great things about Joe's in the past, people love to come up and watch the ball game. So we are going to have 15 TVs for people who want to watch the Cards and the Cats. Mm-hmm. You know, all the March Madness going on.
Yeah, we're gonna make it.
Oh, gosh. We'll be very positive. I think they're both going to make it.
Okay.
And so we're going to have great drink specials for the ball games, great venues. I mean, I'll have over 15 big screen TVs in here for people.
So that
to
is
enjoy
a, that
their
is kind of a big change from, because I came in here for Red Barn Kitchen several times, and it wasn't the sports bar vibe. It was a different kind of experience then.
Right. As part of bringing it back to the old Joe's, we had so many people that would love to come up here with their friends and watch the UK, U of L, football, basketball games, or come up and watch their favorite NFL team. And we're going to recreate that with you know, the 15 television sets that we'll have here, and the food and drink specials we'll have for the UK, U of L games.
Okay, and I guess the patio. You know, I spent a lot of time out on the patio, that and that really didn't seem to jive with the Red Barn Kitchen thing. So. You open that back up?
Oh, of course. The patio is going to be wide open. You know, a lot of people in the spring and the summer, they just like coming up with their friends and having a drink. They bring their families. You know, of course, fish fry is coming up too. So every Friday we'll have fish specials for, you know, everyone to come in and enjoy a good fish fry as well.
Now, are you getting some of the same? I mean, it's been what, a year, 2 years since the old.
It's been 2 years.
Any of the same employees? You got the same staff? Or
yeah, that's a great question. I've actually brought back, as it stands right now, 8 employees that used to work at Joe's. So when people walk back into Joe's, they will see the old Joe's employees back. People that have worked for me for 15, 20, 25 years, they'll see a friendly face, and when they walk in, they'll know what drink to give you.
Well, there you go. And when you moved out, I guess some of the decor went away. Did you save any of that, or is it going to be all new?
A lot of it will be new. Now, some people have approached me about donating back to Joe's some of the old stuff. It's kind of a funny story.
Because you had a sale, right? I guess you had a sale when it closed.
Yeah, I wasn't involved with Joe's when the sale occurred. I had sold my ownership interest. But it's kind of a funny story about the old Moosey used to be in the front. An auctioneer had bought it and sold it to a local person in Oldham County. Now, we knew where the Moose went, and we approached the local Oldham County person, and we said, well, will you take $2,000 for the old Moose? And she said, no. And then we said, well, what about $5,000? How about $5,000 for that old Moose? She said, no, I love that old Moose. And then with kind of a wink, just to see how far she would go, we said, well, how about $20,000? Will you give $20,000 for that old Moose? And she said, I won't sell that Moose at any price. I love that Moose. So I went out and found a new Moose that has a realistic look to it. And, you know, we're excited to have our symbol sitting back on the front of New LaGrange Road.
I hope you got it for less than $20,000.
Yeah, it's about a tenth of that.
There you go. Well, I'm very excited, Chris, about seeing the new Joe's. It's going to be, it's still older than dirt, but it's going to be all new, right?
It's the new Joe's older than dirt. We're very excited to have everyone back.
Hey, this is Dan Vonderhyde.
Stephanie White.
And we are 40-ish.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
We talk about it every week on the 40-ish podcast. What do we talk about?
Wisdom. We drop some wisdom and just everything that's going on in our lives that relates to what might be going on in yours.
We have guests. We talk to people on the street. We're dropping knowledge all over the place. You can hear it every Wednesday. It comes out on Louisville.am.
All right. I can't wait to get back to Joe's Older Than Dirt. It's going to be just like it used to be. At least that's the goal that Chris told me about, that they have. It's just an amazing place. And right there in the heart of Linden, February 21st is the day it's open. But speaking of restaurants, there's always restaurant news. And I'm very excited to tell you that our plans for a revival of Eat, Drink, Talk with Carolyn McLean and me are moving forward. And I think we'll have something to tell you the definitive launch date in a week or so. I think we'll be able to tell you when we're going to start that up again. We're talking to some folks about the format. And if you get a chance, go to eatdrinktalk.net. We've got a new RSS feed over there that highlights all the local restaurant and drinking news. Speaking of which, as I read in Kalen, in Insider Louisville, Kalen's, the old supposed home of the cheeseburger, the first cheeseburger, is coming back once again. And that building right there near St. Agnes is a go. Three guys are starting it back up. You can read the story on Insider Louisville. But interestingly, I mean, everybody's got a memory, right, of certain places. I think I ordered my first, like, real drink there on a date in high school. Believe it or not, you could get away with that. And it was back, you know, I was so young and didn't know anything. We ordered Singapore Slings, if you know what those are. I wouldn't know now. But anyway, for some reason, they served me there. I was all of 17, I'm sure. But anyway, Kalen's is coming back. There's a new tiki bar at 4th and Chestnut, and I'm anxious to go in there. It's called Limbo's, and I read about that on Insider Louisville. And probably the most exciting restaurant news to come along here in a long time is that the new Whiskey Dry, Edward Lee's new restaurant on 4th Street Live, is near an opening date. And in fact, I'm going to have an interview with Edward Lee for this show for next week. So you might want to put that on your calendar and tune in. And I'll got plenty of stuff to ask Edward Lee about, and about opening a new restaurant on 4th Street Live. And you can see a lot of things taking place, taking shape down there. The Omni Hotel, if you've been by there, is almost finished. Interestingly, on the south side of the building, they, in sort of a move to, I guess, an ode to the past or an ode to what used to be there, that old Fall City Theater sign, theater equipment sign, they installed that on the side of the on the south side of the Omni Hotel. So, so that's interesting. Nowadays, when you drive by, you can sort of see inside and see what's going on there. They are supposed to open in March, which is it's right around the corner. I can't wait till it gets here. I tell you, tired of this January and February weather. But anyway, that's something to look forward to as we head into the spring. There's a lot of stuff going on in 2018, as you remember, and when I spoke to Karen Williams of the Convention and Visitors Bureau, it's the biggest year for tourism in the city's history. So we'll be paying attention and keeping our eyes on the Omni. Okay, I'll tell you what, something that's going on in my life and something you may be interested in is that you know all my all the controversy I'm having out in J-Town with my home and Airbnb, and in J-Town claiming that there is a law against short-term rentals in J-Town when, in fact, the law is not. And this is an interpretation, I believe, by Skylar Ault, the J-Town attorney, who will threaten to break your neck if you cross him. So anyway, I just have to get that dig in every once in a while. So anyway, the story is I have sort of physically moved. I haven't totally moved, but I have purchased a condo down in on Lower Brownsboro Road next to Pat's Steakhouse. I'm very happy about it, and been living there, been sleeping there, and it's just a cool place. I love living inside. I've said for a long time I wanted to live inside the Watterson, and now I'm 2 miles from downtown, and it's just a better situation, I think, a better living situation, and the place is cool. I'm having some work done on it, and it's only 700 square feet. I don't want a yard. I don't want things to deal with and work on. So, which brings me to the Cozy Cottage in J-Town. If anyone is interested in a great place to rent, I'll rent it to you. I'll rent it to you long term. It's still listed on Airbnb. You folks in J-Town, I'm not backing down on that, but I've decided that if the opportunity comes along, the right person comes along to rent it, I will do a long-term rental deal out there. It's a three-bedroom, one-bath home with a great screened-in porch, beautiful private setting, everything you need. So anyway, get in touch with me if you're interested in the Cozy Cottage. I'd love to talk to you about that and take you out and give you a tour and see how that goes. So anyway, that's what I'm doing. Nothing's really happened on my whole legal battles with J-Town because, well, the mayor won't call me back. And but I will tell you that Chris Thieneman, who is the one, the person who was threatened by Skylar Ault online, is pursuing charges through the county attorney's office. So we'll see if he is able to get that. It appears obvious that that the mayor is not going to do anything, any disciplinary action toward Ault in regard to the terroristic threat that he posted on Facebook against a citizen, which is mind-boggling to me. But anyway, I was interested in a couple of other pieces of news, and I just want to run this by, because it's about the Metro Council, and certainly I'm keeping an eye on what's going on in the Metro Council. They're participating in the legislature is going on right now. You heard Dan Syme on this show, the leader of the state Senate. He's pushing a marijuana bill. Well, the other day, 10. Now, there are 26 Metro Council members, and 10 signed on to this this sort of bill that would encourage legislators to pass at least a medical marijuana bill. Now, I'm wondering about who the other 16 are that did not sign on to this, but, you know, I think we got some some folks on the Metro Council that are not quite as progressive as they should be. I was impressed that mayoral candidate Angela Leet and Scott Reed were the only Republicans among the 10 who signed the bill. And disappointed that my councilman, Kevin Kramer, who also will not call me back. I wrote him a letter today because I saw that Kevin, and I understand he teaches at a Catholic school and all that, but the Metro Council is wasting its time on abortion, as if the Metro Council is going to have something to do with abortion laws. But as usual, as happens in every legislative session, there is a piece of abortion legislation that, it passed last year, and it's been struck down by the federal court. So it's really pointless to spend time on this. And that's what I wrote in my letter to Kevin Kramer, who was among three members of the Metro Council, along with Robin Engel and Marilyn Parker, all Republicans, who support this bill that would, I think it requires ultrasounds and it requires the doctor to write a description of the fetus. You know, it's all an effort to further reduce the options for women who are pregnant. So I know everybody has their own views on abortion, and that's fine, but this part of the legislation we go through this every time. It's like these Republican, pretty much all Republican legislators think that every year, to keep their base happy, they have to put forth some bill about abortion. And if it happens to pass, it gets struck down on the federal level. And so they've spun their wheels once again on this program. So Kevin, you know, I'm sorry to see my Metro Councilman wasting your time on things like that. All right, well, that's enough politics for today. I tell you, I'm having fun. This is a great time of year, even though it's February and it's nasty outside. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on, and a whole bunch of stuff. We're sort of gearing up for the spring. You know, basketball season, I guess we're all paying attention to basketball. Both Kentucky and Louisville, they stink this year. I think there's a chance neither one will make the NCAA tournament. I watched a game, the Kentucky game last night, and that team, it looked about as bad as Louisville looked the night before against Syracuse. And so not much to cheer about around here in basketball, I would say. But anyway, let's move on to my next guest, and it is Brendan Evans. He is a wonderful guy. I really enjoyed meeting and talking to him. He is from Zimbabwe. He owns the Rental Depot now, and Carolyn McLean told me about him and said, you ought to have him on the show. I said, okay, I'll go out there and have Brendan Evans on the show. So what follows is our conversation that ranges from learning about his business to his journey from Zimbabwe to becoming a guy who lives and owns a business in Louisville. It's a great story about the positives of immigration. He actually got married to find his way into America, which is one way to do it. And I think we're much better off for having Brendan Evans as a resident of Louisville, Kentucky. It's just my opinion. So let's get on with that interview, and I'll be back to close the show after it ends.
Hi, this is Alec Voles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers. With,
yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
The Rusty Satellite Show comes to you today from the Rental Depot over off Produce Road. And I'm with Brendan Evans, the owner, the new owner of the place. How you doing?
Good, thank you. Thanks for coming out.
Well, you have a wonderful, incredible, interesting story, so I want to get to that first, because you're a native of Zimbabwe.
Correct.
And now here you are, living the American dream, right?
Right, right?
Okay.
Every day.
Tell me a little bit about your journey.
Well, I was working for a worldwide company to begin with that started working with them in the UK, and then they sent me over to the States, and I just fell in love with the place the first time I came out here. And worked for that company for about just over 10 years and ended up working on all the different continents all over the place with them, but wow, always loved my time in the States.
Yeah, yeah. Well, give me an idea. And now, you were putting up tents for this corporation. What,
right,
what kind of sporting events you're talking
well,
about?
Well, the first place we always came to was Louisville, because the first event of the season was the Derby.
Okay.
So that was always a great start for us. We all loved it, man. We loved coming here to the Derby. It was always so much fun, and the people were always so entertaining and friendly. And then we would do the Indy 500. And then we would do the U.S. Open Golf, PGA Championship, and any other sort of major sporting event that was on the cards.
In the big time. So you came to Louisville in 1991, and that was your first Derby?
Right.
Okay. Yes. Yep. You probably remember who won the Derby that year.
I don't. That's crazy, but no.
I used to memorize these. I think it was might have been Strike the Gold. I know Lil E.T. won in 92. So
I remember that one.
I won some money on that one. But okay, so what were your impressions of the Derby?
It was more just the whole atmosphere around it and all the people, I think, that made it for us.
Okay.
Just everyone being so friendly and nice and accommodating and helpful. But the Derby, the first couple of years, we didn't really see very much of the Derby. We went to the infield because that's where people said was where we should go.
Yeah, and just, you got some bad advice.
So we enjoyed the chaos of the infield for a few years, and then we figured out that we weren't really seeing any horses. So.
You see a lot out there, though.
Right.
But that was just this was just a stop for you, and you're doing all your other stuff.
Right.
But eventually, how'd you end up choosing Louisville as a place to be?
Met a young lady and moved here.
There's always a girl.
Yeah.
You know, that's always the story.
Yeah, so that was the attraction.
Okay.
To come and settle here.
Okay. Well, yep. You know, you can give me a little insight into that. How'd that happen?
Well,
where'd you meet her?
Just met her randomly in a bar one night.
Okay.
And moved to Louisville for her and ended up marrying her. Unfortunately, got divorced from her 4 or 5 years later, and then met my now wife.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we always practice once, and then, you know, hopefully you get it right.
Yes.
And now, so you ran your own, you went from being a member of the crew to running your own event business, right?
Right, correct.
And what did that company do?
So I found that some people... The company that we were working with, there were people that were leaving and starting their own companies. And they were calling me and saying, hey, how do I do this? How do I do that? And I saw an opportunity to start my own company and possibly help out these other smaller companies that were doing the same corporate hospitality at these sporting events. So that was where I saw the opportunity to start my own thing. And that happened in 2001, I think.
Okay.
And then so I still did majority of sporting events. That's really was my bread and butter.
Okay.
I did about 5 or 6 a year and set up big tents, air conditioning, flooring, you know.
Not just in Louisville?
Yeah, mostly outside of Louisville.
Okay.
We were based in Louisville at that stage, but most of the events were outside.
Okay.
And then in 2008, the big crash came and...
Nobody spent money anymore.
Yeah, so all these people stopped entertaining their clients at these sporting events. And so I restructured and decided it was a bit time, you know. Krista and I had our first kid, and we decided that, you know, to be gone for a month was going to be hard.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I decided to stay local and try and grow the local scene.
Okay. So yeah, your event business was became more of a local business, and
right.
Then I guess just last year you must have how'd you come to acquire the Rental Depot?
So
it's a pretty big business.
Yeah, Ron, who had the Rental Depot, he and I were on the board at the American Rental Association of Kentucky together. Plus, I'd done business with them for 10 plus years. Whenever they needed big tents, they would come to me and I would help them out. And whenever I needed little stuff, I would sub-rent from them. So he and I were talking, and I liked his company and the product that they had. It was clean. It was They had a good reputation in Louisville, so okay. I knew that would be, if I wanted to buy something, that appealed to me.
Okay.
And so we were talking, and then eventually he came to me and said, "Yep, I'm ready."
You're ready. And you said, "Here's the check."
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't that simple, but now I mean I don't know much about this business. You were looking for, I guess, even small events now.
So
if you need
mostly. What I provided before were big events, and it was a high budget, high-end corporate events and weddings and that kind of stuff. If you need them floored and carpeted and silk liners and glass doors and air conditioning and all that good stuff, that's what I could provide. Now, we're a one-stop shop where I have the tables and chairs, the linens, the glassware, the flatware, plates and all that good stuff, and then the smaller tents that go along with the big ones.
Okay. Well, that's a lot. You know, I go to a lot of those events. I see those tents. You must have some story about a disaster involving weather, right?
You know, we've been very lucky.
Okay.
I pride myself on the fact that, for instance, I think it was last year, we had a big snowstorm, and I had a tent up. It was a warehouse tent, so it was being used by a company that needed some more warehouse space. They were using the tent for sandblasting and painting and that kind of stuff in it. And I just saw that there was going to be over a foot of snow, and I went out there, and we just ensured that the tent was well enough heated to keep the snow off. And I stayed there a couple of nights and make sure the tent was safe, and it was good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, wind always plays a part, so I always watch the wind, and we're always on site whenever there's a big windstorm or snowstorm, especially.
Okay.
Rain is no big deal. Hail, no big deal. But wind and snow or ice.
Well, it's a very interesting and certainly a successful business. Let me ask you, though, about, you know, coming here from Zimbabwe, you know, there's a lot of news, a lot of things in the news about immigration, people trying to get in and all that. I mean, you seem an example of you're living the dream in America. Right. You never could have imagined.
I think, when you say the dream, it is amazing what the opportunities that you have here in the States. And if you just work hard, I mean, that's the way I got to where I am. I just worked my way up the rungs and started out as just setting up the tents, and then worked up my way up to the operations manager, and then just educated myself. Mm-hmm. To be able to run my own thing, you know. Yeah.
And but you wouldn't have any opportunity like this in Zimbabwe, right?
No, absolutely not. There's no way. Zimbabwe now, I mean, the economy is tanking. There's just not that much opportunity there at all. I was thinking about my kids. If I was growing up now in Zim, it would be tough, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, my sister, who's now moved to South Africa from Zimbabwe, is looking for better opportunities for her kids.
Okay.
So it's just, you want the best for your kids, and I know for a fact that if I was in Zimbabwe, it would be a lot tougher. The opportunities here, the education provided here, everything about this country, I mean, it's a no-brainer that there's no reason. Yeah. I mean, there's no wonder everyone's trying to get in here and want to live here.
Mm-hmm. And just so our listeners know, the way you got in here to be a citizen, you can always marry an American, right?
Yes. Yes, you can.
If you get a divorce, they don't take it away, right?
Correct. I mean, you have to. I mean, I was married for I think 5 years, so I was a citizen by that stage.
Okay. So, well, very good.
Yeah.
So what do you got on your plate now? I can think about spring at least. It doesn't feel like it outside, but that's where the event business cranks up, right?
Yeah, we're gearing up for a great year, I think. We're trying to get out there and visit as many people as we can and just tell them about what we have to offer. And a lot of people don't know that we have all this, you know, all these big tents here and all these high-end flatware and glassware and all that good stuff. We're buying new inventory in February. We go down to an annual show. It's the American Rental Association show that we go to every year. And we educate ourselves down there about what the latest trends are and all that good stuff. And then we buy into all that and provide that for our clients.
Okay. So this will be your first year of having all the
being the one-stop shop.
Very good.
Yep.
So is the Derby still a big event for you?
I love it, yeah. With my wife, if we're not too busy, we try and go every year. It is such a fun time. We try and get, instead of going in the infield, we try and actually get some seats.
That's a good move. I've experienced about every way you can.
We love it.
Sometimes it's good to visit the infield.
Yep.
And then go back to your seats.
2 or 3 minutes. Yep.
That's good. You ever had any luck with the horses?
You know, I'm not a huge, I don't know much about them, so not really. It's dumb luck.
Well, most people do don't. that's true with most people. Over there.
But I always enjoy chatting to people that do know a lot about the horses and can give me some good advice. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, your story's a great one. I'm always interested in hearing it, and glad to know now that the Rental Depot's there for
Thanks, Rick.
Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, thank you, Brendan Evans, for a delightful interview. That was a lot of fun. His office is over in the sort of industrial area off between Newburgh and Poplar Level Road and the Rental Depot. And also, Crest Bride. I can't wait to go to Joe's Older Than Dirt in a few weeks. And February 21 is the opening date for Joe's Older Than Dirt. The new Joe's Older Than Dirt, I guess, I would say. All right, so that's what the Rusty Satellite Show is all about. It's a very interesting podcast. I appreciate the opportunity to do it each and every week. Thanks to my sponsors, PlatinumPanel.com. Go to PlatinumPanel.com and sign up. You might win a $100 gift card if you say Rusty Satellite sent you. And my good friends at Passport Health Plan, you might try going to PassportWellbeing.com and seeing some of my work in the recent months for them. So anyway, so that's about it. I'm sure you've, in this terrible weather, you've been spending a lot of time on Facebook. Have you seen these people who are basically begging you to interact with them so that your stuff will show up in their newsfeed? I don't totally understand all that. I hope that, but if anybody would like to make sure that they see the post from me and Rusty Satellite Show, and in fact, I put up a picture of the moose yesterday from Joe's Older Than Dirt. There's a lot of stuff going on. I'd be happy to talk with any of you on Facebook and get included in your news feed. So I don't know if that works. I'm really not the techie on all that, but that's what it is. And I am, and I want to repeat, I have moved just in the last 2 weeks down to Lower Balance Railroad. If you want to come have a drink with me at Pat's Steakhouse, I'll be glad to go over there. But if you're interested in renting a pretty nice private three-bedroom home in J-Town, give me a buzz. Contact me on Facebook. I'd be happy to talk to you about renting it. I'm sure that's going to happen in the next few weeks. So anyway, that's it for the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. Glad to be with you and glad to hear from you as always. Next week, remember, I've already got Edward Lee lined up, the Whiskey Dry restaurant and bar going in on 4th Street Live, and we'll have some other interesting guest as well, I'm sure. So that's going to do it. Thank you again for joining me, and I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.
Time.